I now want to move on to a very serious topic, and we haven't really gone into this, but I have some information that we can work with to refine it or something. Okay. Mm-hmm. St. Augustine, if there was such a person, mm-hmm. what mm-hmm. was his concept of the soul?
Mm. Didn't recognize it. He did it. He's not as bad as Eckhart Tolle, but he gave the soul as a constant monitoring position of the id. But he didn't describe it like that. He didn't describe it like that. But it was basically pimping the id is the easiest way to tell you the words.
So he saw some aspect of the stenographer aspect of the soul.
Yes.
He didn't see the unrealized creations stenographer aspect of the soul. He didn't see that part.
Well, because the reason is, just like Eckhart Tolle, he tried to make that be responsible from the ego defending the id. And that's when it goes. That's always when it goes south.
Okay, so Arthur Coker has an essay on St. Augustine develops the concept of soul, and he calls it the third term because Augustine was able to resolve the antinomies, the endless dialectic and argument in Greek culture and maybe Hebrew culture too. They couldn't resolve anything because they got right. abstracted by the phonetic alphabet. But then the abstract effect of the phonetic alphabet, we call Coker, somebody calls the third term. That is what he thought the soul was. Is that way off? No. That's nowhere near what
not
you have
terrible.
Already just said.
No, it's not terrible off, but it's not exactly right because it gets to a point you're trying to navigate something. And there, he wasn't trying to navigate it. He was trying to explain it.
Yeah, Augustine was not. You had some noise there. He wasn't trying to navigate something, whatever that means. He was trying to explain it. Okay.
Correct. So then, well, the same way when you take a quadrant, and then you start with the process, and then you're trying to establish it. Then you have to navigate the quadrant, but at first you have to explain it. Well, he never got the aspect of it. You have to apply the quadrant. That's the part he missed.
Well, mm-hmm. he tried to explain it, but he didn't get to the application. Is that what you just said?
Absolutely. Good.
Right. So. Mm-hmm. Who made St. Augustine's writings on the soul the rule, the dominant dogma for the church? Did I have something to do with that?
No, you laid it into a place. You laid it into a place where they had no choice but to we have to get the right word.
Is it a conditioned response of the manuscript culture? The manuscript culture.
I know, but then Clinton rolls the bowl and starts talking bullshit about that. We don't want him doing that. We're not going to do that. No, because then he's going to explain the manuscript position. No, it's more like we told you something, and then we're going to tell you, and then we told you what we told you, and then we're going to tell you again what we told you. And if you do that long enough, then next thing you know, that becomes normal. That becomes, I know about the Church of the Subgenius. Yeah. I know that. Did you hear it enough? All of a sudden, that becomes something you can embrace, even if you don't believe it. I don't believe in CNN, Bob. I don't believe it. I don't believe in CNN. That's Clinton News Network. I don't believe in it. I don't believe it. But. Doesn't make any difference. After you hear it enough, there's references that you acknowledge that there are some people acknowledge that there is a Clinton News Network. You see.
Okay, got that. The next phase is Thomas Aquinas. There was some kind of controversy. The Gnostics were coming up in the 1100, 1200, something, Henry II's time or something, the guy who invaded Ireland.
Edward the First. Don't forget Edward the First.
Yeah.
He was in there too. Mm-hmm.
Right. So around that timing, St. Thomas Aquinas writes some stuff that the church can say, oh, we have some dogma. This is maybe better than St. Augustine. What did Thomas Aquinas say about the soul? Anything different from Augustine?
He said that it was a holder. Yeah, he said it different. He said it's what you save. Aquinas was, that's the part you have to save. You have to save souls. So Aquinas. Now, some of the Catholic did the same type stuff with the Opus Dei, and then who is them other ones that whoops their, like you, Bob, they whoop their own ass, you know, when they whoop their ass when they're trying to make atonement.
That's Opus Dei.
And the one they whoop that, like you do, you know, when you whoop your own ass, you know, like that.
Yeah.
So it's like that you have to prove some point. And so this point is that I have to get a hold of my id. I have to control my id so that even though my id thinks bad things and does terrible things on Tuesday afternoons, I can still be saved enough to listen to the Mass on Sunday. And so Aquinas is trying to lay it out to the point that you could, by works, achieve salvation that would redeem, here's where you never heard this before, that would redeem your faltering soul. That's where Aquinas is different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now Herbert W. Armstrong did it a different way. He said, you're going to sin. You're going to fuck up. You are a fuck up. That's what Bob said. You are a fuck up. We know you're going to fuck up. You fucked up. You fucked everything. It's not kind of like you remember the cockatoo, the little cockatoo that fucking the little thing is always saying fucked up. Okay. He said, you're going to fuck up, but we're going to save you with the Bible. We're going to save you with the Bible. See, we're going to save you with the Bible, with the Word, the living Word of God.
That's what Aquinas brought in. Aquinas brought that
as well. But Armstrong made it. But see, Aquinas was saying that was the condition of the Catholic inspiration, you see, that you had to take control of it. Herbert W. Armstrong said you can't control it. You are a sinner. You were born in sin, so you are a sinner. You are fallen from the grace and glory of God. But Aquinas says if you get a hold of yourself, you can work your way by works, you can make it through the gate, just inside the gate.
Okay, so...
That was good. That was good,
yeah,
Bob.
So,
that was good.
Now, was Aquinas necessary to update the dogma because it was more a fact of writing and manuscript culture than St. Augustine's period?
Agreed. Agreed. And if you read Thompson actually brings that out. He actually brings that out of the difference, of the separation between the soul and the sin, or the death deprecation.
he brings in angels. Thompson does.
Well, that's right. Well, see, but now wait a minute. So does Aquinas. Because it's that angelic build that allows you to have the capacity to find the salvation.
Okay, we got that. So this whole thing about the soul, did Vedanta, Hinduism, Buddhism before Christianity, did they have an idea of a soul, or they didn't have that, quote, confusion?
They didn't call it a soul. They called it the hara. They called it the hara, the part that held you, the hara. Everything was from the driven position of the chakra. And the Tibetans did the same thing. It was all about the energies from where that is. And, you know, don't write the book. You know, those people.
Right, right. So the purity of Hinduism for its day was accurate. But when the phonetic alphabet and writing and the beginning of the Western technological dynamo starts with this new form
nobody
of
was
reading,
talking. Nobody was talking during Hinduism, so nobody got confused with the words. They weren't saying any words. They were
right.
chanting. They weren't speaking. They were just chanting. And that's what the Catholics were trying to do in their Latins, because nobody could understand it. Amina nomio do de asshole. Nobody knew what the fuck they were saying. All they knew is that if they kissed the ring or sucked the dick, they got blessed. So that's all they had to do. Either kiss the ring or suck the dick, then they got blessed. That's all they're trying to do. So that's the rub, that condition. Now, some of that's smart. If you can keep people out of the written word, they can't misunderstand if they didn't hear the word, which is what you say.
They can't misunderstand it if they didn't hear the word. Yes. But the point is, as they get more embedded in what McLuhan called visual space in the West, that made the West different from the East, from Hinduism and that, but technology was taking over. The beginning of the building of the tech body was coming in.
Isn't that what you call solipsism? Isn't that what you call solipsism?
Yeah, solipsism. The point is the West dynamic of writing and coming up with the idea of the soul, or the Western idea of the soul, Aquinas' idea, that was a necessary technological condition response that the East was not prepared for. They remained
Certainly.
They were not prepared for that difference.
Here's where the rub comes. The rub comes if every society came from North America, from America, and went out and then bred the everything not in the Yarmulke continent, when it came back home, all it did was get expelled or defined. When it left, it had no definition. When it came back, it was very well defined, and that's the problem. Now we're having pronoun problems. All of a sudden, now people don't even know what a man, what the definition of a fucking woman is now. They don't even know what that is. Oh, I can't answer that. I've never seen one. I don't know what a woman is. I can't be talking. No. In that context, I can't be answering that question. You go, that's the craziest thing ever. It's been adopted and embraced, and it's basically about as crazy as you've sounded your whole entire life. You're starting to sound sane. We're scared. We're very afraid. We are afraid. When you start sounding sane, trouble is afoot. Trouble is afoot. No wonder Mary McLuhan liked to take to the bottle when she had investors over.
When she what? Had investors over? Did you say?
Yeah, when she had investors over. Because, you know, she never drank, but she'd have a little champagne if she was with a client, or somebody was going to give money for something. She'd have a little champagne.
Okay, so when you say it all came back, do you mean it came back to the United States?
Yeah.
What is this coming back phase?
That's it. Coming back to here, the word, the written word, position, the melting pot that's melted. That's what's wrong.
Yeah.
They talk about the melting pot, but they don't acknowledge that the pot melted. It's a melting pot. It melted. That's what they don't get. And now nobody knows what they are. Dogs and cats laying together. People fucking mules. Mules fucking people. We're marrying house plants. I identify as a houseplant lover. I'm going to marry my rhododendron. I fucked the shit out of that rhododendron last night. Ooh, I got me some rhododendron. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Ooh, I had a kumquat. A kumquat? Ooh, I'm gonna marry. We're going to get married. We're registered at Dillard's. We're going to have a nice quiet ceremony. It's going to be great. It's crazy. And people can't. And you goddamn dare you say something. They'll have you drugged before the court to the land. Don't you go against them, kumquat lovers. Leave them alone. No. And now you're laughing because you're seeing that it's really happening. People are crazy. It's insanity.
Okay.
It's insanity.
All right. We got that iron. We got a time. So.
Well, we had to get you at least 7 minutes of something you could play, Bob. We had to get at least 7 minutes of something you could
now,
play.
Now, we've been discussing the soul. And the soul stays at the physical when it transitions, when demise happens, so-called demise.
Yeah.
And the essence goes on
to
the guff. The essence goes on to the guff and still has a consciousness. And the soul is not the essence of ourselves. This is a side story, the soul.
Correct. So, well, don't say side story. It's a sidebar. It's a part
sidebar,
of the whole picture, but it's a sidebar. And that's why people are often taken aback when they discover who they really are.
Right. Which is more than their idea or image of the soul. Way more than
typically, but see, can't say that every single time without fail or exception, so we have to add the typical to it, because some people know who they are, but they just won't have it, and that's different.
Okay.
Some people know that they're Edgar Cayce and can't figure it out. See?
All right. So now I want to go into some talk. I'm going to read something, and we're going to tease it apart. Let's see. We're going to look at Thomas Aquinas, what he wrote. And apparently, he developed some kind of psychology, and he called it as made up of the inner senses. And the inner senses were four parts. The sensus communis, that's a term from back in his day, imagination, cogitation, and memory. And these four parts are the inner senses that Aquinas delineated.
Mm-hmm.
Do we go any further into these ideas, or it's all a bunch of nonsense?
Not typically, because every part esoterically can have a dot that you can embrace to say, oh, yes, that's a good point. Oh, yes, that's applicable. And, you know, it's kind of like talking to Clinton. Every third or fourth hundredth word is good, often. Mm,
you're right.
So, but there's not enough of it you could mince together to make a good sentence that could stand up to any conversation. You would tear it apart immediately, any level of it. You would personally, because you could.
Yeah. Great. So,
but none of this really applies to you because you've overdone all this already anyway, long ago.
Well, some people are trying to make a big deal out of this. They're trying to retrieve, in McLuhanism, they're trying to retrieve this aspect of Aquinas' ideas, dogma, psychology, to say McLuhan missed these four aspects, and we need to acknowledge these four aspects, and our digital world is extending those four aspects.
But there's nothing to retrieve. That's the problem. There's nothing to retrieve.
Yeah,
because,
they like to say
McLuhan didn't do it because there was nothing to retrieve. That's why he didn't do it.
Mm-hmm. No, we're getting somewhere because they make a big deal out of retrieving. The main digital effect is retrieving memory, but that ain't nothing.
There's nothing to. There's no memory. There's no member to remember.
Right.
There's nothing to remember.
There are photographs and books and paintings and
if you retrieve them, if you retrieve them, yes. If you do, yes. But if not, then no. See the rest.
Okay, so then, so this Neo-Thomas, the Catholic guy, he wrote about this, trying to retrieve these things. So I'll give a summary of his ideas. In contrast to modern scientific positivism, which doesn't acknowledge a soul, but
what is positivism? What is positivism? Positivism.
That's empiricism.
Positivism.
It's a certain
puricism. Is
science.
That what you're saying?
No, empiricism. It's laboratory work. Prove it in the lab. Okay.
Got it. Okay. What you were saying didn't make no damn sense. So that's the reason we asked.
Yeah. Not the emotional positivism, you know, being positive,
right.
Not that.
Right. Yeah, well, we don't have to do that. We're positive. Most of them are fucked. We're positive, though. They're fucked.
About that. Well, you're actually being scientific there. You've got proof. Okay.
Right.
In contrast to modern scientific positivism, the metaphysical orientation of the Arab, Muslim, and Latin scholars was not averse to explanations of animal and human perception that required the action of the immaterial. So they're bringing the immaterial understanding or theory of the soul and saying humans have this soul. It's immaterial. Science doesn't recognize that up to this point. So then it says, indeed, in order to explain the cognitive phenomenon whereby different animal species recognize what is useful and harmful to themselves, these Catholic scholars commented on the texts of Aristotle, and they concluded there had to be an estimative sense in non-human animals. It was this inner sense inherent to the animal soul that supplied instinctual knowledge of the useful and the harmful to the animal, which could not be gathered merely from the external senses. These internal senses, these four, are very important, and they were part of the animal as well. So the scholars transposed to the human soul, dignified this animal inner sense, by the power of intellection united to a material body. The animal has an estimative power. They call it the vis estimativa. Estimativa.
Oh, my God.
Became the human vis cogitative. Cogitativa. Or the cognitive, yeah, or the cogitative.
Cognition. Walter did all that infringe. Cognition. Mm-hmm.
Right. So all this crazy complication, conceptual effort at trying to get to a dogma is not something to take too seriously. Would you agree?
We agree. Because if they would have taken it on and made it not so esoteric, you might have won something. Because then they could have actually argued the point to say, and if you do these things, this is the predicated outcome, which can make a subjunctive deference in a reality that you don't have to accept. Now, Marshall McLuhan would have agreed with that. But if you didn't get that far, now you're just pissing in the wind to prove you can piss. So it's like, okay, you piss. Congratulations, you got it. Good. I believe that. Okay, good. I do too. I don't doubt it. I don't care. So there's the rub.
Right, so I'm going to read the next paragraph, which probably we won't have to go into too much because you've already erased it. But they say, distinct from. So they go back.
We didn't mean it bad. We meant it. We just didn't mean it bad, Bobby.
yeah. So they're going to go back to these internal senses. Do we have internal senses?
No.
Anyway.
Just like you feed the same way you don't feed emotion. Some people are card-carrying crazy, but you don't feed emotion. You feed the body. And in that process, that emotion may or may not have a derivative, because now you're talking about the esoteric as opposed to the sublime. You got to know the difference.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right.
So that's actually easier to embrace than the other doppelganger bullshit you just had.
So it says here, distinct from, although functioning in concert with, the other internal senses of senses, communis, imagination, and memory, the cogitative power, according to the doctrine of Thomas Aquinas, possesses a number of closely related roles in human perception. Firstly, as an analog to the animal estimative power, the animal estimative
that
power.
That means of high regard. Yes.
Right. The cogitative power, also called, quote, particular reason, apprehends
what is useful. I'm aware of myself. First, I'm royal. Yeah. Second, I recognize myself. Okay, keep going.
Animals have that? Do they recognize themselves?
Sure, okay. They know who their owners are. They know they're the beast. They know if they're loved. They know if they're cherished, if they're fed, or if they get scared when humans take advantage of them. They know how to hold their own place. Like when the big dog comes in, but then sometimes the little chihuahua come whoop the big dog. They come chomp their ass depending on who's on whose turf. So they're aware of their ecosystem. So you don't come in here, out near you. Come here, big boy, near you once, then you get fucked. I don't know which one it is, but somebody's going to go down. You see, they know that.
Right.
That's why the little dog sometimes can run them off. So they're trying to bring that up as a point, but it's a ridiculous construct because everybody knows that. I mean, that's not very interesting, but go ahead. It's all right with us. We don't mind.
Right.
It's your time, Bob. Waste it. It's your time, Bob.
Yeah.
Waste it.
Yeah. Firstly, as an analog to the animal estimative power, the cogitative power, also called the particular reason, apprehends what is useful and harmful in perceptual objects, not merely through an inborn instinct, but also through a comparison or a collatio, informed by reason of particular cognitive objects or intentions. Moreover, while the estimative power allows animals to perceive objects as really existing, perceive objects as really existing individuals to pursue, flee from, or ignore, the cogitative power allows humans to perceive the concrete individual, not only in terms of its immediate value or harm, but also in terms of its instantiation of a common nature or universal, such as a human or tree. Now, that's what you're saying. We all know animals can do that.
Yeah, that's why the dog is going to bark when somebody's at the door. You're on my turf. You're not in my house, but I can sense you. And this is my space, and I feel that you're in my space, so I'm going to acknowledge, and I may be quiet, and I may bite your ass. I may bite you if you're a threat. We'll see. But now I'm going to negotiate whether you're a threat or not. We're going to see how much, how deep these teeth will go. Basically.
Okay. It is this. Yeah. It is this function of the cogitative to serve as a bridge between the particular data of the senses and the universal consciousness of the intellect that allows the cogitative both to prepare the phantoms retained by the imagination to be intellectually apprehended as universals. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. I got bit. Okay, let's make it easy. I got dog bit often. So when I get around dogs, dogs bite me. That's what he's trying to say. So my imaginative disposition is that if I go in there, I'm going to get dog bit. And you have to have enough, then you realize that you need to stay out of the dog pen. Or if you go to the
that's
dog
the
pen,
universal.
You know you're going to get
established.
Universally, you're going to get fucking bit. Yeah, that's right. Hell, Bob, we can make a lot of money. We can make a lot of money. We can clean this shit up. This is easy. How not to get dog bit when you're afraid a dog bites. How to not get dog bit when you're afraid a dog bites. That's it. We can write a book. You could do a thesis on that right now, Bobby.
Yep. So, to prepare the phantoms retained by the imagination to be intellectually apprehended as universals and to conduct abstract understanding back down to its relationship and application to concrete singulars. Since the intellectual virtue of prudence depends upon
minute,
the application.
Wait a minute. What the fuck is a concrete singular? Now let's get back to the start, Bob. Let's go back to the start. What the fuck is a concrete singular? Now, we need to know that. We need to establish that before we can get anything good out of this little partner.
That's
you gotta slow up
that's
now. You're speaking too fast.
It's a conditioned response from the phonetic alphabet. That's what a concrete singular is. Nothing to do with the soul.
How is that singular?
Nothing to do with the brain.
How is that singular? But how is that singular? And how is it concrete?
Because the eye
No, it doesn't. It can't tell the difference between objects, and what's left is what it goes with. It's your eyes see everything, but your brain has to tell you what you saw.
Correct.
That's why hypnosis people can remember things they saw that they didn't see.
All right. Since the intellectual virtue of prudence depends upon. So listen to this. There's a final sentence here. Since the intellectual virtue of prudence depends upon the application of universal moral principles to concrete situations, the cogitative is vital to the exercise of this virtue, making the cogitative power key to practical human life. In other words, the dog's going to bark and then bite you. That's practical, and remember that.
Yeah, and then you have to sing conjunction, junction. What's your contrived position? Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's a lot more. We won't do any more today. We'll come back to this.
Oh, good. Thank you.
I'll just maybe here's a final statement in the next paragraph. Correlating bodily functions and organs to the hierarchical formation of three levels of spirit. Those three levels are the natural.
Who wrote this drivel? Did Clinton write this? This sounds like Clinton.
Friends of Clinton.
Friends of Clinton. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
That makes sense. We knew there was an eight ball fueled weekend of debauchery in there somewhere.
Three levels of spirit. What are they? The natural spirit, which is the liver and veins. The vital spirit, which is heart, arteries, respiration, and passions. And then the animal spirit, which is the brain and nervous system. So this all becomes something called MENS, M-E-N-S, which is the highest power of the animal spirit, which comprises phantasia, cogitatio, and memoria.
Oh, my God. Bob, you got to get them boys off. They dropping brown tags, rotten pieces of paper. You're going to get them off now. The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is looming ever closer. It's going to get them. Good Jesus, God. Okay.
The animal got there first. The animal's brain got there before the human got there.
Yeah. Who's on first? That's right. Who's on first?
Yeah. Each of whose impairment, phantasia, cogitation, memoria, is implicated in distinct bodily and mental conditions. This account represents the model of human physiology accepted by medieval learning. descriptions of the inner senses of phantasia, cogitatio, and memoria, along with the Aristotelian sensus communis, would be taken up, refined, and debated upon by the Arabian philosopher Avicenna, or Avicenna, A-V-I-C-E-N-N-A, and later Thomas Aquinas, the latter of whom would accept much of Avicenna's commentary, but reject his dissociation of the intellectus agens, A-G-E-N-S, from material perception. So, a lot of dialectic there, kind of mind-body split, I guess you would say, a lot of over-drinking of the phonetic alphabet.
So what that little bit of thing says is that sometimes when my shoes are too tight on my feet, I get a hangnail, is what you're trying to say.
That's right. Yeah, very good.
Gosh.
Okay, we're leaving that for now. On to some particular short answer questions. All right.